It's Monday, October 1st, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 804, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our October special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, free private registration with .com, the main use promo code unlisted too. So again, free private registration with a .com purchase, use promo code unlisted too. Or take 20% off your total order using promo code GO20. Off too. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you. You guys know what comes next. All you got to do is strap in because here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right. I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran and I want to welcome all of the longtime listeners, all the Ohana of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. Of course, we want to make sure that you take a chance. And if you're new to the show, we definitely want you to consider subscribing to the podcast. That's a great way to stay involved with what we do here. And really, all you have to do to subscribe to the show is go over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content. Of course, check out the second column of the website because we've got the links there to subscribe from the show. Now, if you're on an Apple device, an iOS 6 device, all you got to do is click on either the RSS feed or the iTunes. That'll automatically load the podcast app in your device, and you can subscribe right there with just essentially two clicks. Because it's just basically one click to load the podcast app, one click to subscribe, and you're all set. Of course, we will encourage you to get signed up for our newsletter as well. The newsletter will cover everything that I talk about during the show. Of course, all of the show notes for this show will be at gncshownotes.com. You can go over there and check out all the show notes for all the links to all the articles I'm going to cover tonight. Of course, that's a one-way conversation. You're not going to get bombarded with open discussion. It's one of those things where we just send it to you. Of course, we got lots of great writers at Geek News Central as well. Daily articles going up, stuff I'm going to talk about tonight, along with a lot of other tech topics as well. So everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana here at GNC. As always, if you want, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call our voicemail hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Those of you overseas, all it is +1 619-342-7365. Call it on Skype. Get right in there. Leave your comment about the show or drop me an email and let me know what you're thinking. Got lots of email from the last show on one of the topics. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Of course, we're up live tonight. We're streaming on our primary server at Amazon. Of course, live.geeknewscentral.com is where that's at. We are secondary streaming at livestream.com as well. And I posted a link up to that live stream feed via the via Twitter tonight as well. Our Ustream feed, we're kind of just letting that do what it does on what I call my very lowest bandwidth feed. So if you're watching on Ustream, you definitely want to come over to live.geeknewscentral.com and watch the high quality version of this show on that stream over there. So don't forget, if you miss the show, by subscribing or catch us on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV or Google TV, and check us out on the Tech Podcast channel on those devices, along with Boxy and a variety of other devices as well. So, well, look here at my stack. Hey, this show, of course, is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. We want to thank our friends over at GoDaddy for supporting the show. And we've got some new deals this October. And really was impressed to see what they had come up with. But the first thing they're giving out or making available for you this in the month of October is free private registration with your .com. And what that means is if you buy that .com and use the unlisted 2 promo code, when you register the domain, everything that shows up when someone does a who is on that dot, on that .com will basically show the proxy information. It won't show your name, address, or anything like that. It'll be very private on the domain purchase. Unless you do something completely illegal where there's a subpoena sent, no one should ever find out who owns that .com. But that's a great deal, unlisted too, and you can really combine, I think that's about a $5 or $6 savings by going that way. And the second thing we've got to offer this month, and this is through the rest of the year, and this is a special offer. You can save 20% off your total offer. Again, this is off your total order. Get to the end, get to that checkout counter. For it's $100, you put in go 20 off 2, and you save 20% on your purchase, making that purchase from 100 down to 80. Of course, we want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and you'll be able to see all the codes. And really, this is where all the codes are for all the different savings that we have. And believe me, there's a code there for every occasion. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So 13 codes for you to use. And if you can't find great savings at GoDaddy.com through using the codes on my website, you're not going to find them anywhere. I'm going to just be straight up and tell you that. So anyway, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here and of course, a sponsoring show again for October. We'll have some new sponsors kicking in the middle of October as well. So look forward to having them come on board. But for now, GoDaddy's our sole sponsor. And we want to make sure that if you feel the show is putting out great content, that you consider becoming an insider by going over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. And a couple of you had issues with PayPal. So here's the skinny. PayPal, for some reason, has unsubscribed you from the Insider program. I have no idea why. There's nothing I can do with PayPal. It basically cancel your subscription and restart it. That's the only thing I can tell you to do at this point. But it's not billing you anymore. And for whatever reason, it's a PayPal thing. And I didn't touch nothing. So who knows what's going on over there? It's weird like that. All of a sudden, some of them subscription will stop and it'll stop for no reason. And it's not because a credit card expired or a bank account or anything. It's just PayPal. So the last show, man, I complained a little bit about some new healthcare costs and basically getting some paperwork. And boy, I got lots of email. Some that were pro what I was saying and some that were, what are you saying, Todd? And basically, it was quite the toss-up of email. Many of you asked me not to read it on the show because you feared it would get political, and it was kind of amazing to watch the responses. And I'll just say this: no one has a single opinion because some people said, if the president's reelected, your healthcare is going to go up. They said, if Romney gets elected, your healthcare is going to go up. And then they said, if the president's reelected, your healthcare is going to go down. And if Romney's reelected, it was like all over the map. No one had a single opinion that was consensus. It was just like coming in from every direction. So it was kind of funny. But all I know is the price is up. That's all I can say from a small business owner standpoint. The price is up. And it's getting pretty ridiculous. So yeah, it drove record email. And again, most of it was like, don't read this on the air. There was a few that I think did. I think I got those in a stack, but oh man, funny. But this weekend was a big outdoor weekend. Had a son soccer game on Saturday, went to that. If you're watching on Facebook, you may have saw some of the pics I put up. Then we went to an air show yesterday and got to see the Blue Angels. It was at the Marine Corps base, Kaneohe Bay. And I tell you what, the air show this year was not as good. And I sit out there and got cooked. You guys are watching the video part can see that I definitely got some sun. It wasn't from a lack of trying. Of course, no burns or anything, but I was using SPF 50, but my face still got the majority of the sun. And I tell you, if you don't watch it here, you just get absolutely fried. But we had a great time at the air show. And, you know, basically, my son had a great time. My other two kids were actually working as part of the air show, volunteer staff, getting some volunteer time in. So by the time it was all done, we rolled in here last night pretty late. And I think everyone just face planted. And then today's been pretty lazy day. As I told you guys, I've been just kind of taking it easy and relaxing this week. And as a little bit of a try to take a little break. And of course, the kids here in Hawaii are off on their fall break. Now, it's kind of weird because most of your kids just got started. But my kids have been in school a couple months already. So the way they work things here in Hawaii is they have an October 1 week where they're off. And so they're, you know, doing what teenagers do. They're just being lazy. And I'm kind of letting them be semi-lazy and a little bit of a break. We'll get busy doing some projects here later in the week. But other than that, pretty easy around here. We're going to, again, like I said, we're going to be launching some new campaigns at the end of the month. We're going to be doing a CES 2013 planning meeting this coming Saturday. Of course, we had a Saturday morning tech show that I'm going to tell you. If you are a content creator, you're going to want to listen to the first hour of that program. We talk about Feedburner ad nauseum too. It is like, so you don't even want to watch and hear anything more about Feedburner. I had Cliff Ravenscraft on, and he runs the GSPN.TV network. He's also the podcast Answer Man. And boy, him and I have agree to disagree on the utilization of Feedburner and putting clients on there. I think you'll become very aware, because those of you who've been listening to the show for years already know what my stance is and the reasoning for it. And to be honest with you, I'm just fine. I have nothing to worry about with my show because I'm fully in control of my RSS feeds, unlike so many other people who have either allowed a third-party hosting service or basically have using Feedburner. And there is some concern that Feedburner may at some point pull the plug down the road. Now, I hope they don't, but as I said in my talk on Saturday. But there is a potential there, and I wouldn't want to be the one with a big audience on a RSS feed that's being controlled by the folks at Google and Feedburner. All right, so let me go ahead here and see what I think. What else have I got in my stack? I think that's about it. We're going to get into the content here. Yeah, I do want to bring up one thing. Of course, the Podcast Awards nominations have opened. And so the site is taking nominations now, and we had a huge day. I think we had close to 500,000 nominations the first day of the event. So hey, if you're a listener of the show, you can't nominate my show or any of the shows that are associated with Geek News Central. You can't do Gadget Professor. You can't do Saturday Morning Tech. None of those shows. But you can nominate other shows that you are excited about. And we want you to go over there. And actually, let me do a refresh on this page. Now, that's weird that graphic is still, that's caching for some reason. So long story, oh, there it goes. It switched. So anyway, long story short here, go through and nominate your favorite shows and your favorite categories. Just a reminder, People's Choice and Best Produced are really the top two categories. So you can nominate a show in each of those categories and also nominate them in one other category. But don't go and put the same show in business, entertainment, food and drink, general. We really don't care for that. So please, you know, think about that as you're going through the website and doing your nomination. You get to fill this form out one time, and then you're done for the year. But anyway, that's ongoing. Nominations will close on that on October 15th at 23:59. Another thing that was announced today, and I had volunteered for this, and I really was kind of forgot about it. I knew it was coming, just didn't quite remember when. And let's see if I can find my link here. Yeah, here it is. So I put the post up on Geek News Central. The folks at New Media Expo have come out with something pretty cool. They're launching what's called New Media Expo University, and it's not necessarily a university of new media per se, but what they're doing is they're going to be offering some scholarships where basically an up-and-coming content creator is going to be able to apply to get a free airfare, free hotel, and full access to the New Media Expo coming this January. Now, I've been asked to judge the entries that are being submitted in the podcasting category. Well, I'll not be really commenting on the process to pick the winners. I really want you, if you are, and here's the best thing, don't email me on this, okay? Because we have to be careful here. I don't want to break any rules at all. So don't email me that you're submitting. I don't want to know Because if you do, then I technically have to disqualify your entry. So don't email me on this. But if you feel that you have a up-and-coming show that needs to be recognized, or if you know of a show, and this is something that's important here, if you know of a brand-new show that you think has some serious chops, they should get over and apply for this, because this is a pretty cool award. Now, we're competing against the bloggers and also the web TV folks, but I'm hoping that the new media folks, the podcasters, are going to be creative enough in their entries that they're going to be compelling to win this outright and be able to get this free trip to Vegas. Now, I think there's a couple other sub prizes as well, and there's a full information on the New Media Expo website on this, what they've announced here, and how they're going to make this available. So again, I'm pretty pleased to be one of the judges here. Of course, you got Rick Calvert. He's the owner of New Media Expo. He's going to be the co-chancellor along with Dave Sinkin. Dev is going to be taking care of all the folks that are going to be coming. And then Kelby Carr, she's going to be judging the blogging. I'm going to be judging the podcasting. And Mark Sag is going to be judging the web TV video series. So this is pretty cool stuff. And there you get to enter, you have all through October to send in your deal, send in the application, and read the full details here on this. So this is a cool way to get a free trip to Vegas. And again, I hope that the new media creators are going to be very, very proactive. And you'll see a link at Geek News Central that shows me as a New Media Expo University Dean. That's kind of funny. So anyway, that's up on the website, and it'll be in tonight's show notes. All right, let me go ahead and talk just a little bit about a couple of topics here right off the bat. I was digging around today. I had some extra time, was kind of just kind of chilling, and I found an article over on trendchant.org, and I think this is the first time I've ever covered one of his articles. And he says, amidst all the complaints of the, and this is talking about, and we're going to talk about iOS 6 and the maps thing. I'll tell you my experience. He says, amongst all the complaints about maps, he says, I think people have failed to recognize the do not disturb mode. The new do not disturb mode is the greatest feature on the phone since the original iPhone visual voicemail. And so I kind of like, well, okay, what is that? So I went over and I basically clicked on settings here, and it's got a do not disturb. So if I turn that on, what that does is it allows me to set the time of when do not disturb is going to be. I can actually schedule it and make it so that it won't buzz or ring during certain times. Now, what happens often is at like 11 or 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, even though I have this thing set to buzz, the phone is pretty close to my bed. I hear it go bzz, bzz, bzz. So the do not disturb basically shuts the notifications off. And you can still set it up to allow calls from favorites, people that are on a short list, but you can set up quiet hours, and it's pretty cool. So this is a pretty cool feature of iOS 6, but let me talk about maps. So we get done at the air show yesterday, and we don't eat often over in a little town called Kailua. They've had a lot of new restaurants open up over there. We generally, because we live here on the other side, we don't normally go over there to eat. So she's driving. I'd had a beer, so I couldn't drive. So she says, well, honey, find us a place to eat. And I said, well, what's your fancy? And she says, well, let's have Mexican food tonight. So I broke out my iPhone, and I basically went on. I knew of a place. I Googled the name in and got the address. And so I just tried to get it to give me directions. I mean, I tried and I tried and I tried to have it sync from where I was at to where I wanted to go. And it wouldn't do it. I mean, I was playing with it for at least 10 minutes. And my wife's all the time saying, what's the matter? How come you can't get that thing to map? And I'm like, it'll map the location, but won't show us how to get there. Now, Kailua is not that big. So I kind of expanded the map out, and I looked, and I kind of figured it out. But I just wanted it to map. And, you know, I was thoroughly frustrated. I mean, I wanted to smash this thing. That's how pissed I was. And so I tweeted about it after we got to the location. I tweeted that I was upset. And of course, some smart Alex came back and said, Todd, you should have the Samsung Galaxy 3. You know, so, you know, all these little nice little jabs at me on, but this map program blows. I mean, so now what do I have? I have on the phone a shortcut, a Google Maps shortcut. All I got to do is punch that. And guess what? I have moved that all the way onto the first page, and I have removed Google Maps or Apple Maps to the end, so I don't have to see the stupid thing. And this was really my first time using Maps, because I got back from Japan, hadn't really went anywhere, and I wanted to just quickly get, you know, directions, make sure we were on the right path, and it failed, completely failed. And maybe it was because there was a high density people and this network was slow. I don't know, but it should not have been that painful. Believe me, it was. So you get one good feature, you have one bad feature, but they have completely, and people are like, it's not that bad. You know, so the folks over at ReadWriteRev are saying, don't believe shoddy research about Apple Map usage. And basically people are, you know, all these Mac Apple fanboys, and I'm just, those of you that, hey, I'm using Mac stuff just as much as the rest of you. They're, you know, basically saying a new report that the usage of the Apple's iOS 6 map is plummeting has me pretty steamed. So this guy's saying it's, you know, this information is incorrect. People aren't running away from. Yes, they are. I have not talked to one person yet. I was talking to some people today. Hey, what's been your experience with the maps function in iOS 6? Oh, man. Da, 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 da. So some folks did a little study and said that Apple's map usage has plunged to 1 in 25 iOS owners. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be. I mean, it is horrendous. It really is. And if someone said it has street views, I was like, what? I can't find that. There's no street views. How do you get to street views? That doesn't work. So, anyways, long story short here, you know, the ReadWriteRev folks must be worried about the number of submissions and most articles are getting leaked to them by Apple, because boy, oh boy, they are all like, hey, this is false information that's being put out there. You know, and not to help matters at all, Steve Wozniak basically has been basically blasting Apple all weekend, saying that jailbreaking is great and he wishes iTunes supported Android. And, you know, so he just goes on and on. You know, he says, as an Apple shareholder, what matters is not sales or market share, it's profitability. Apple seems to stand alone in profit market share, so the course that they're taking is a good one. It's hard to guess whether profits would be greater or less under hypothetical situations. So basically, you know, he's basically understanding why they're doing it, but at the same time, he wishes that Apple was more open, and makes some pretty good comments here. Of course, you know, I'm sure Woz is a thorn in the folks over at Apple's side, because, you know, he's got the stock, he's got the money, he doesn't have to work, and is as prudent. Victor goes to the spoiler, right? And the spoils go to the victor, right? And so he can say whatever he wants. But anyway, so it's an interesting commentary by Woz. So another thing is the folks that have the iPhone 5 are saying that the camera problem is all about the way you're holding it. And basically, if you're getting purple on your phones, they're saying, our engineering team has just given me this information. We recommend that you angle the camera away from the bright light source when taking pictures. The purple flare in the image is considered normal behavior for iPhone 5's camera. If you wish to reach me regarding this case number, blah, 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 contact me. I'm currently at work. So, you know, basically list the time. But here's the deal. You know, let's look at this issue. And if they don't think that people are going to be upset, because people don't want to carry a camera with them, right? But if they're getting these types of images, and those of you that are watching the video, iPhone 5 on the left, iPhone 4 on the right, dramatic difference. And here's a picture of a, you know, and this isn't even in direct sunlight, but where the sun's shining through, a little purple on the side of a tree, purple haze on a lamp, purple haze off a truck. You know, this is bad. And, of course, the sun's purple, right? So, wow, what a difference. And, you know, people are fanatics about using their phones now to take pictures. So I guess you can't take a picture in sunlight or anywhere where there's any sun reflecting or indirect sunlight. Oh, I guess that makes it pretty well worthless, right? Well, anyway, that's basically they're saying that this is normal. So they've really, I guess they didn't go outside when they had this camera. They did everything under controlled lighting. They should have had this thing outside taking some pictures. That's what they should have done. And they would have figured out that their camera had some serious, serious limitations. All right, let me switch gear here and go to a different topic. We'll get off the Apple bashing here for a little while and move on. But it's so fun sometimes when Apple's having trouble because, you know, they so often are not these days. It's so fun to have a little fun with them have a little make the Mac lovers in the audience pull their hair out just a little bit. But I got to admit, I'm much gentler now than I was in the earlier days of this show. All right, app.net lovers, app.net. Look, I do love app.net. App.net has lowered entry price and adds a monthly option as membership grows. So $50 a year can get you an app.net account. Oh, excuse me, $36 per year instead of $50. That'll get you an account, get you on there. So I'm pretty excited about where app.net is going. I'm starting to get some of you audience members are starting to follow me on app.net. That's pretty cool. So, of course, app.net is a Twitter replacement without any restrictions, without any of the heavy-handedness that's been going on with Twitter and developers. And that's what I'm really supporting it for is because I really, you know, I'm not about closed ecosystems. I like open ecosystems. And anytime control is put upon software by a company, it's never good. So I like the workaround. Is it going to gain strength over time? I don't know. But every $36 that is spent by people coming in to join is another step towards making a true competitor. All right, let's talk about Mozio. And this is probably only going to affect many of you in metropolitan areas. But Mozio eyes an important and stressful part of travel, the airport commute. Here in Honolulu, I mean, I get in my car, and as long as there's not a traffic jam, I can be at the airport in 30 minutes. And it's really not a big issue, but I know that in San Francisco, when I've flown in there and got a rental car, I've always been a little bit, I've gotten the airport a lot extra earlier because of the traffic. But they're basically building a database of ground transportation options and prices for travelers getting into from the airport. Mozio is currently in private beta, but users can fill out to join. It will launch public in October 19th. They're going to start out in San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose airports, but hopes to hit the top 40 airports by the end of the calendar year. And they've got some financial backing by the folks that run Orbitz. And many of you know what Orbitz is. It's a travel site. So that's kind of cool. Now, be honest with you, most of you don't want to park your car at the airport because just if you're gone more than 3 or 4 days, the cost is pretty extraordinary. Here in Hawaii, I think they charge, $12 or $13 a day. My wife just drops me off and then picks me up so I don't incur parking costs. But many folks don't have that option, so they really need to go to the airport in a cab or a shuttle. So Mozio.com is going to be the site starting here in a few weeks where those of you in those areas and hopefully soon, more later, will be able to have access to it. All right, let's talk about ISPs, Internet Service Providers. We all have one. You wouldn't be watching or listening to the show unless you did. And when it comes to gauging the speed of the Internet, you can always rely on what you always cannot rely on what your Internet Service Provider tells you. That, you know, here I have 50 megs down and 3 megs up. Oh, yeah, that works real good. Tell me how well it was working this afternoon when we were watching a Netflix video, and I kept getting buffering on an SD video. Wasn't even HD. That 50 megs down really works great sometimes. So they've got some tremendous data here. And this is worthy a read by everyone. Of course, this will be up in the show notes, but let me give you some highlights. And this is a multi-page report, again, over at PCMag.com. So here's the fastest ISPs nationwide. Verizon Fios, of course, comes in first. But here's some surprising ones. Mid-Continent Communications, never heard of them, but if they're in your neck of the woods, they'd be worthy looking into. Charter Communications, Brighthouse Networks, Optimum Online, which is Cablevision, Comcast Cable, RCN Network, Wave Broadband, Cox Communications, Cable One, Verizon Internet Services, Roadrunner. Whoa, how far down was Roadrunner? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Number 12 of 15, Mediacom's 13, WOW is 14, and Suddenlink Communications is 15th. So here's the, let's take Verizon Fios out of the scheme. And let's look at number two, Mid-Continent Communications, 24.7 gigs down, or megabits per second down, and 4.4 up. So what's the other number here? Let me look. Average download, average upload. Oh, and the index. They basically have an index score. So Mid-Continent Communications had an index score of 20.6. Now, if you go down to Roadrunner, the way they fell out was 15.7 megabits per second down. 15.7, 1.7 up, and 12.9 index. Now, here's something interesting. If you have access to Verizon Internet Service and you're looking for upload speed, they're cooking. Verizon Internet Service has 15.4 megs down, 8.1 megs up. So not as fast on the down, but a huge push. So you may want to look into that. So anyway, this is basically talking about national averages, and this was made up of lots of people doing tests on a special site on PC Mag website, but they got the ISPs broken down by region here. You can look at North, Northeast, Northwest, South Central, Southeast, Southwest. Hawaii's not in any of those lists. And then it has the fastest ISPs for business. Comcast is the fastest on the business class, with Verizon being number two. And of course, Roadrunner doesn't even make the list. Oh, I guess Time Warner Telecom Holding, but they don't offer that good a service here in Hawaii, not at least a price that you can afford. So they talk about the ISP business side, and then talk about the top 10 cities. So here's congratulations to those of you that live in one of the following cities: Alexandria, Virginia; Plano, Texas; Richmond, Virginia; Seattle, Washington; Long Beach, California; Torrance, California; Washington, D.C.; Boston, Mass.; Newark, New York; Madison, Wisconsin. Wow, Madison, Wisconsin. That's pretty impressive. So those are the fastest top 10 cities in the country. So if you live in one of those cities, you've got the fastest internet. And then by state, it's Delaware, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Ohio, Colorado, Connecticut, Oregon, Vermont, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. Wow, that's amazing. Those are the fastest states by index. So Delaware, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Ohio, Colorado, Connecticut, Oregon, Vermont, Pennsylvania. I would have never have guessed that was the case. But a lot of the other states came in real close. That's incredible that those states are the fastest. But if you want to look at the fastest ISPs by the world right now, Hong Kong, Switzerland, Netherlands, Sweden, Singapore, Bulgaria, Romania, Denmark, Germany, and Belgium are all beating us. Yes, Bulgaria, Romania are beating us in internet speed. It's pretty sick, isn't it? It really, really is. But anyway, lots of great data there in this article. So I'll have the link up in the show notes. You can go through all the data points. You can download the entire report to look it over. But that gives you a little insight to the fastest ISPs in the United States in 2012. Well, at the same time, broadband caps have just turned 4 years old, and they're basically, the folks over at GigaOm are saying, hey, it's time for the FCC to take action. And, it's been a while here. You know, broadband caps are spreading fast. I'm sure at some point they're going to be implemented by Time Warner. but the FCC has no oversight of how ISPs implement them or who they affect. You know, we've laid out these problems in the past, but it just talks about the number of broadband subscribers that under data caps. We're approaching 65% of the total people using internet service providers who are underneath a broadband cap. That's pretty sickening. I'm wondering, is it affecting you? Is it causing you to not be able to do some things you wanted to do? So really, if ISPs are going to cap broadband, the FCC track how those caps affect consumers. And we really need an effective meter, an accurate meter that goes with that cap, because most people don't even know if it's accurate or anything else. And, you know, basically the FCC has been sleeping on the job here. You know, that most people don't even use the meters provided. They don't know how much their data they've had. And so as GigaOm says, maybe it's time to file a complaint with the FCC or at least with your ISP, you know, to get some accountability at least. But I just don't see this happening. I really don't. And, you know, they go into another segment here talking about which ISPs are capping your broadband and why. And it lists each of the companies, Comcast, AT&T, Time Warner Cable, Verizon, CenturyLink, who is and who isn't. So, as you know, Comcast suspended its cap May 2012 after raising its to 300 gig. And the AT&T has a 250 gig cap. CenturyLink has a 150 gig cap, up to 250, depending on the plan you're on. Charter, it's between 100 and 500 gigs per month. The faster tiers have higher caps. And then you got Mediacom, again, 150 to 999 gigs, which is quite a lot. Faster tiers have higher caps again. But all these companies have got caps. Now, the only ones that don't right now, Time Warner Cable, Verizon, Cablevision, Frontier. Frontier's a company that's, I believe, Midwest Michigan. My mom has Frontier telephone service. It's junk. Windstream, Farpoint, and Cincinnati Bell are the ones that do not have capping right now. So has a cap affected you? I'd love to hear your feedback on that. If it is, email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, Gmail now searches attachments. And so this is interesting. Have you ever sent something and then say, oh, what was that email subject? Oh, I know what was in the attachment. You can now search on Gmail. It'll index your attachment, whether it be a PDF, a document, a PowerPoint, and many other file extensions. So keep that in mind when you're looking for something. They're actually going to scan that in there. So it makes me a little nervous because that data in those documents is often, you know, often you send an email, hey, look at this, this is a proposal. Do you really want proposals indexed and having Google have access to that? I don't think we have any choice anymore. I think everything that goes through there is being indexed. And that's that. Do you think about that for a second? That has some serious ramifications. So if you're not comfortable with Gmail indexing what is inside of an attachment, you may want to reconsider using Gmail as a mail service. How many of you left and how many of you don't actually use Gmail anymore? How many of you defaulted back to another service? I'm really curious. And again, email me here or tweet me. Let me know if you completely have dumped Gmail because of privacy concerns. All right, over in Geek News Central, Alan wrote up a great article on Adobe releasing Photoshop Elements 11 and Premiere Elements 11. So there's a great video there as well. So definitely check that out. That's a great article by Alan that he did. And also Alan put together an article on HP releasing their Open Web OS version 1.0. So, you know, when HP purchased Palm and their Web OS technology, there's a lot of controversy with many people wondering what HP was thinking. And so basically, the former's turned out to be right, as HP has proceeded to release a Web OS based tablet and then pull it off the market almost immediately, even selling off the remaining devices. So the Open Web OS 1.0 comes with all the core apps built in and the NYO 2.0 framework that has hooks that developers can use to deploy the software on a wide variety of platforms. So one of the folks is basically launching this on a HP TouchSmart PC in a new video that's in this article as well. So basically, folks can roll their own web operating system. So this is pretty exciting stuff for those that are out doing the dev and hacking. So I'm sure what we're gonna see is this OS probably take on a life of its own, and maybe at some point be able to use on a tablet or something that you have laying around there, and they'll be able to put a boot script into it. All right, Oracle. Oh boy, they can't make up their mind. Larry Ellison has been kind of a critic of cloud computing, but he has basically announced at the company's annual Open World Trade Show in San Francisco. He basically says that they're moving into a more open and using more cloud stuff. And so it's interesting here that they're embracing they're calling elasticity. And that's kind of what is an Amazon term. Basically, you have a cloud that can expand, and they call multi-tenancy, basically multiple servers. And then some of this is conflicted with Oracle's strategy. But they're starting to kind of change what they've said from a year ago. This is an interesting move here. They basically, he had slammed the idea of this multi-tenancy and the elasticity, but, all of a sudden they've made a shift here and are kind of saying this is a great way to go. So it's kind of an interesting move by Oracle. I think there's Amazon and everyone else is out there that's building cloud solutions. So we'll see where they go with this. Hey, 3D printing company seizes a machine from a desktop gunsmith. This is, we've talked about this before, where a 3D printing machine was being made out a plastic model of a submachine gun. A gentleman by the name of Cody Wilson planned in the coming weeks to make and test a 3D printed pistol. Basically, the company called Stratasys pulled the lease on a printer rented out for the Wiki. It's called the Wiki Weapon. It was an internet project led by Wilson and dedicated to sharing open source blueprints for 3D printed guns. Basically, the company said this is an illegal a build. You can't do this, and this probably would have been problems with the you probably would have had some issues with the Fed. So Wilson, after a printer was seized, visited an ATF field office in Austin to ask about the legal and regulatory issues surrounding the Wiki Weapon project. And he was brought into a room and questioned and was told that the agency was preparing to visit his apartment. In other words, kicked the door in when they were initiating an investigation. He added that the ATF believes he's not broken any laws and that the agency believes 3D printed guns will fall into a regulatory gray area. But that needs to still, he feels that he still will need to get licensed if he's to manufacture a weapon. So they raised some money to make this happen. And basically, there's some real interesting rules, like shotguns, sawed-off shotguns, you can't manufacture. But you can make some weapons at home, but this particular one, I think they were going to make an AR-15, was probably a little too close to the no-no list. But, still this thing was going to be plastic, maybe capable of shooting one round if they were lucky not to kill somebody in the process of actually trying to shoot something through a plastic firearm. But anyway, we'll see where this leads, but this is a second article about people printing weapons, and it makes you got to go, just a little bit, doesn't it? Hey, those of you that live in California, of course, your state there has been increasing tuition and a whole bunch of other things going on, but, the cost of living rising everywhere and paychecks not going up. California Governor Jerry Brown signed a law that will enable students to access 50 digital textbooks, which are mandatory for lower level classes at the University of California, California State University, and in the California Community College curriculum. So this is awesome. We all know, any of us that have done any college classes, that $150, $160, $200, $100 whack for for college books. And it's just you use them for one term and you sell them, right? And you don't get them, and there's always a new version. It's like you need edition 26. Well, I have edition 20. Oh, no, you need edition 26. That just came out last month. So what they've decided to do here. They're going to be able to purchase a physical copy of the textbook for $20, but they're going to be able to get the digital one for free. Now, this is awesome. If you think about that, because even $20 is a great deal. I think that should be enacted across the entire United States. I think that if the U.S. government wants to do something good, and you want to tick off the book publishers, go after this digital textbook. You know, all these basic core classes, Math 101, English 101, all these classes that everyone has to take as a freshman and sophomore in college, all those basic things, those are all basically the same classes everyone's taking. And I think this is a great thing. I think they should expand it across the country. But that's what they're doing in California. Okay. One thing my wife's been having a challenge with is she uses her iPad to take pictures of everything. She never hooks the iPad to her computer. So, of course, the pictures are being sent up to the cloud and being stored up in the cloud. But oftentimes, later on, she'll get on the laptop with Facebook, and she'll want to say, where's my pictures at? Where's my pictures at? And I'm like, they're in the cloud or they're on your... Wow, where's that coming from? It's coming from over here. So maybe I'm missing something, and maybe I don't fully get it, but what does it take to get pictures you're taking on your iPad to automatically sync to your Mac? Will it do that? Will it automatically do that connection and send them? I'll be honest with you, I haven't paid too much attention because I use my PC for everything. So maybe some of you Mac users out there can help me out here, because I know they're going up to the cloud. So, and if you have an iPhone and an iPad, they crisscross. But do they actually go to the PC as well? Are they actually sent down? And do they cross multiply? I didn't see where it was. And maybe I was just missing something. Or maybe I'm looking in the wrong places and they're there in the first place. But any of you hardcore Mac users, please give me some clue on this. But one gal has written an article in the Wall Street Journal where she says, nowadays people are storing a lot of personal photos on a variety of social networks. They capture photos with their smartphone cameras, instantly share them with Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and then never see them again. And this week, she wanted to get those pictures back. And she tried a service called This Life. It's a service that pulls in photos and videos from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Flickr, Shutterfly, SmugMug, Picasa, as well as one from one's computer hard drive. And she says, once you're over 1,000 photos or 1 hour of video, you have to pay for more storage costs. But she says that worked semi-good. Or she was looking at basically using a Seagate 1 terabyte, 100 backup plus portable drive, which upbacks photos and videos from Facebook and Flickr. And I haven't played with that. I'm going to have to look at that myself. But she says some of the pictures she got back from Facebook were not even worth saving. So she was looking for the masters and run into that cross-deck issue. So because we're all using our devices in so many places, what are you guys doing? You know, for me, it's pretty simple. You know, I make sure that I get my photos synced. I make sure that they get stored off into our dedicated server. But, you know, every once in a while, I happen to get my wife's thing and, you know, sync it with the cable. I just don't see the pictures being moved by data. And maybe I'm just missing a setting somewhere. What are you guys doing? Love to hear your feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Someone's saying, Todd, you're an idiot. This is simple. Here's what you do. That's okay. Clue me in here, all right? So I can get out of trouble with my wife. All right, which is better, LinkedIn recommendations or LinkedIn endorsements? Well, this is something new. A little over a week ago, LinkedIn debuted endorsements, which they're touting as a professional version of Facebook. And that's kind of interesting. Connections to your account can endorse you using skills and expertise section of your profile. So I guess I need to go and fill that out if I haven't already. And then you can endorse for social marketing, social media, online advertising, digital marketing, blah, 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 whatever you're doing. And you can get endorsements. So they're saying both of these are equally important. So I'll get that set up and I'll let you guys know. And if you feel you want to endorse me, do so. And if I know you in return, I can, quid pro pro, as long as I can endorse you technically. And if I really know who you are, I'll do that. But one thing you guys can do, it's been a long time since I asked for this. Hey, send us a review on iTunes. Log into iTunes, go over to the podcast section, title, and write a review for the show. I would definitely appreciate it. Every time we get a review, that helps us with attract new listeners and so forth. And anywhere that you can do a review for the site, I would definitely appreciate it. It's much appreciated. And if you can do that, it'd be awesome. All right. Energizer has come out with a wall charger that is a pretty cool little wall wart. And oftentimes when I'm traveling, you know, I'm always looking for different ways to charge stuff because I usually have too many devices. This one here, basically, it plugs into the wall. And then when you get done, you just roll it up real tight. And it's a nice little package. And this is a slick little device. You get about 2.5 feet of cable. And, you know, this is a, you're not necessarily getting a multi-port charger here, but you can get this and charge some devices on it. So they don't say how much this thing costs, do they? Let me look. No, they don't. All right. Well, anyway, I have the link up in the show notes on this. This is nice and slick, small. That's the way I like my cables and packing that suitcase. All right. Over on Lifehacker, hey, check this out. If you've got a Verizon iPhone 5, did you use a little bit too much bandwidth? Make sure that you go into, if you've got the new iPhone 5 on Verizon, make sure that you go in and go and tap the general, go into settings, click general, click about, and then basically you're going to get a an indication on how to update your iPhone. Make sure you do that to install that update. And that's going to fix some of these Wi-Fi issues that those of you with a Verizon iPhone 5 have been having. So make sure you get that update in there. All right, I saw something today that when I saw it, I was like, oh, this would be perfect. Okay, just hold on to your hats. Now, fellas, your wife will never go for this. But if you have a man cave, or if you are someone that's building a studio, I'm going to tell you, or you're just a bachelor, this thing is awesome. When I saw this, I was like, oh my goodness. It's called the Eastpak Backpack Sofa. And this sofa has pockets to stash all your stuff. So this is like, you know, you hang on the couch and you can, it's awesome. It's just like a backpack, but it's got lots of places to store stuff. If you live in a small apartment, this is perfect. Not inexpensive. And, you know, storage spaces are where they're soaking up a lot of money right now. But you can pick this thing up for $2,000. And this thing has got all kinds of pockets. It's light. It can double as a couch. Little love seat is what it basically is. Enough room for two people to sit down on it. Perfect for a bachelor pad. You can get it in red and black. And I'm going to tell you, if we ever do a studio here, where I'm actually build a real studio, this is going to be a piece of furniture that will be in the studio. Absolutely. I don't know why I like it so much, but this is over on Ogizmo. And I'll have the link up in the show notes. This is one worthy of checking out. I think you're going to find it to be as cool as I think it. If you don't think it's cool, let me know. But you can never have too much space. You really can't. Storage space, especially. I got stuff stuffed everywhere in here. Probably this house is leaning to one side. There's so much weight in this one room. All right, have you got a dog that is always jumping up on the fence to try to look what's going on outside? Well, you know, it only took a little while, but someone has built a pet peek dog window. So if you got a pooch that's always jumping up on the fence, this is a way for him to basically look and see what's going on the outside of the fence. You know, check out the person that's walking by so that, that he can get a look and not have to actually try to pull himself over the fence. It's $35. And this just makes total sense. My dog could use one of these for our outside wall. so he could run up and take a peek and quit barking. This is, it's sometimes just the simplest stuff that makes the most sense. That guy's going to make a lot of money. Well, if you're in Japan, listen up. There's a new anti-downloading law that basically, if you are caught downloading copyrighted materials, not uploading, downloading copyrighted materials, you can get up to 2 years in prison from today. This is pretty draconian. They had pretty stiff fines for uploaders as well. Uploaders could get up to 10 years in prison and a 10 million yen fine. That's $128,000. Actually, it's probably more than that today with our exchange rate. But if you are doing downloading, you can get a 2 year jail sentence and a fine of 2 million yen or $25,000. So be aware, if you're in Japan, don't be downloading copyrighted material. Be careful. They will hammer you. And I just wonder how many people they're actually prosecuting. I'd like to find that out as well. The Pirate Bay founder is still locked up without charges. You know, Gottfried has been in jail now for a couple of weeks. And he's going to be kept in detention for at least 2 more weeks under suspicion of hacking the Swedish IT company connected to the country's tax authorities. So, well, maybe he's going to get time served here for his Pirate Bay stuff. If he's in jail and he's being locked up, I guess his counter should be counting for one sentence or the other. But he is definitely probably going to be facing some charges here. But I don't know. I thought he was convicted in the Netherlands, not in Sweden. So maybe it doesn't count, but he does have a 1 year sentence for the Pirate Bay case. But again, that's maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I've got everything mixed up, but we'll see where this falls out as time goes on. If you're a uTorrent user, they've got Torrent Freaks got 5 cool tips for using uTorrent. I have those linked up in the show notes for you to check out. Some things there to watch your bandwidth and how to send stuff to a friend and be able to put labels on stuff. And there's also ability to use it while you're mobile with a Wi-Fi device, basically with your mobile phone. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Some torrent sites have also went offline as police raid alleged copyright infringers. I'm hearing that Pirate Bay may have went offline as well. This is unrelated apparently to the PRQ raid, but a number of sites went offline. TorrentHound.com, Linkomanja.net, TankaFitas.nu have all went offline. Several sports streaming sites, at least 2 private BitTorrent sites as well. So it's because of one data center that was taken down by authorities. So not as many torrents available to move around. Lots more discussion going on about Facebook. And if you're working with a store and they ask for your email address, how they will cross-tie you to Facebook and things that you can do to protect your privacy there. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. I've already provided a couple of links, but I think it's important to remind you guys that if you haven't updated your Facebook privacy settings, anytime you do business with anybody that you give your email, that now can be linked with your Facebook account, and they do it through some hashtag, and it's not supposed to be personal, but ultimately they can do that. The White House has announced that it thwarted an attack on the government computer system. An administration official said security personnel thwarted an attempt to breach on a White House computer system before the attackers, they basically thwarted it before attackers could obtain sensitive data or access classified networks, according to a published report. Apparently, in this instance, a hack was identified, the system was isolated, and there was no indication whatsoever that exfiltration of data took place. The unnamed official was quoted saying in an article published on Monday by The Hill, there was never any impact or attempted breach of any classified system. So that's the report they put out. We'll see if there's anything further in that with time. But I'm sure the White House website and servers are probably too tempting of a target for hackers in a lot of countries to not go after. Now, I don't think we've got a lot of listeners in Brazil. I know we've had some in the past, but apparently if you live in Brazil, millions of folks with DSL modems have been hacked, and basically people's banking information, there's been lots of fraud. Essentially, what's going on here is some hackers exploited vulnerabilities in DSL modems, and it forced people visiting such as Google or Facebook to reach imposter sites that installed malicious software and stole online banking credentials. And this is crazy. They say it's infected over 4.5 million DSL modems. That's huge. And but apparently this has been going on for a while, but they've had a sharp escalation here recently. But they've identified one firmware vulnerability and two malicious scripts and 40 malicious DNS servers, which affected six hardware manufacturers, resulting in millions of Brazilians' internets failing victims of sustained and silent mass attack on DSL. So I don't know what they're going to be able to do to fix this, but authorities are working to shut this down. But a lot of people affected in Brazil. And you just wonder if any, you know, how susceptible our own modems are here. All right, former Mobile Me subscribers are getting a free 20 gig iCloud storage until 2050. This might be a glitch, or Apple may be being nice. I have a tendency to think it's a glitch. So we'll see what's going on here. But, you know, you weren't supposed to get any more free space after September 30th. But as of right now, you're being said that your plan will downgrade in 2050. So maybe you caught a freebie here by Google. Oh, Iran, they restored access to Gmail after just a week's long block. Now, rumor on the street is that while the president of Iran, that lunatic, was in New York speaking at the UN, I guess while he was out of town, they had the Gmail blocked. But when that lunatic got back to Iran, they had to open it up again. Probably he needed to check his email, I'm sure. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so apparently companies that were offering VPN services were doing huge businesses, making as much as $3.7 million in revenue per month. And I guess that made the folks at the Iranian clerics very upset that they were able to find a workaround. So anyway, so the press release in Tehran is they've opened up access to Gmail again. Funny. How many of you that are using OS X have liked Gatekeeper, or have you completely like told that thing to let you install software from anywhere? I mean, that's been driving me crazy is some of the things that Gatekeeper's been doing. I very rarely buy stuff just from the App Store. And so, you know, you try to install some software and it tells you can't. So currently right now I have my settings set up to Mac App Store and identified developers. And sometimes that works. Sometimes I have to switch it to anywhere. But how many of you like Gatekeeper? I'd love to hear you guys if you're using, if you found that it's been too much of a pain in the butt or what. You know, drop me a line. Love to hear your feedback on that. Okay. Last few articles here. There's a great article on TechDirt on how the Six Strike plan doesn't mesh with U.S. law or social norms. And this is pretty thorough in the commentary and talking about how this this supervents some of the rights we have and some of the things that you know, we're used to as being citizens of the United States. And you know, basically you're basically being tried without a, you know, you're being tried without a court, and you know, you basically being said you're doing this, you're being going to get punished. So there's lots of negatives. You know, accuracy of allegations is a huge one. And again, the whole system is based on allegations and not convictions. You know, this has been a concern of mine from the beginning. You know, and again, here in the United States, we tend to believe that you have to be actually found guilty of violating the law before being punished as if you did break the law. The six strike system really flips that system on its head, and those accused have the burden almost entirely on them, and even worse, are given to limited defenses, which block certain things such as claims that a work is in a public domain. And, you know, some basic rights here are affected. So as this get ready to be kicked off, I want you guys to be aware of this. And I want you to complain to your ISPs if you feel the sixth strike plan is really goes against being an American and our way of life and the way we are, you know, basically supposed to be found, you know, basically you're innocent and then proven guilty, assumed innocent until proven guilty. So, anyway, I'd love to have you guys start pounding on your ISPs a little bit about this. I'm going to email my ISP and say, basically, I'm against the six strike plan. It doesn't affect me because I don't download copyrighted material, but at the same time, I just don't feel it's right. I really, really don't. All right, the folks over Instagram have surged past Twitter in mobile user race. This is big. So Facebook's photo sharing service has grown 8.5 folds over the last 6 months, eclipsing Twitter's 24% growth. This is huge. They went from 886 daily mobile users in March to 4,589,000 in June and 7,302,000 in August. That's a huge number. Twitter only had 6,868 daily active users in August. So basically, Instagram seems to be the hit. And that's like my kids keep telling, Dad, how come you don't have an Instagram account? No, not at this point. Google has now become the number two most valuable tech company. They have basically had a summer stock surge, which has allowed them to surpass rival Microsoft, and they have become the second most valuable in tech by market capitalization. Google closed today at $761.98, up 0.99%. Google closed at $29.51, down 0.82%. And basically, Google's market capitalization went to $248.89 billion. Which overtook Microsoft's $247.27 billion article over on CNET. I have the link up in the show notes. Users finding relief from wireless data sticker shock. Apparently, a lot of people are using the new prepaid options like the $65 a month unlimited AT&T Go plan and the startup Freedom Pop $10 to $35 monthly data plan, which has emerged. So, yeah. So lots of movement here in a variety of places where there's some different options now for data plans. And definitely take advantage of those if you can. Apple's iPhone 5 is said to be coming to Virgin Mobile soon. So again, the Virgin Mobile is a prepaid service. And of course, you'll have to pay about $550 for the iPhone 4, $650 for the 4S. So that means that the iPhone 5 is probably going to come in around $600 or more. For an iPhone 5, and then, of course, you just pay as you go. And ultimately, it's still cheaper than many of the two-year plans. No date yet, though. Those of you that are allergic to milk, specifically if you're allergic to whey, W-H-E-Y, may be able to drink a new engineered milk without the unpleasant digestive consequences. A team of New Zealand researchers have genetically engineered a cow named Daisy to produce milk-free of, boy, I'm going to try this, B-lactoglobulin protein that can cause allergic skin, digestive, and respiratory reactions predominantly in infants. So this is interesting here. I'm sure a lot of people are not going to be happy about a genetically altered cow, but this is going to be a way for them to produce. They're going to do some clinical tests. Obviously, it's not going to be on the market right away, and it's obviously years away from being on the market. And there's all kinds of consequences of having genetically modified cows, too, and crossbred stuff that goes on with that. All right, last article of the night is from mercurynews.com. Congratulations to Yahoo's CEO, Marissa Meyer. She gave birth to a baby boy on Sunday night. And according to a tweet from her husband, Zach Bogue, and the new mother and baby boy were resting comfortably on Monday. So congratulations to her new baby, having a new baby, her and her husband, and glad mom is doing well. All right. Only in a tech show will we talk about a Yahoo CEO having a child, yeah? All right. Let me go ahead and open up comments here and see what we had. Last show was on September 27th. Yeah, we had a few emails come in. All right. Got an email from Jeff. Hey, Todd, here's a link for you. I just bought a Google TV at my local Best Buy because I couldn't refuse the price. $50 with a remote, and it did not have a power cord or IR blaster, and I love it. This morning on Engadget, I see this. Very cool option. So he's got a link here to A streaming stick adds Android to any HDTV. It's called Favi, F-A-V-I. So I have that link up in the show notes. Very cool, Jeff. Thanks for that. Got an email here from Phil. He said, hey, Todd, Phil from England here. I've been listening to the show for a long time, since about show 200, so congrats on reaching show 800. I was wondering if you'd give me some advice. I made a few podcasts before, but really never really doing it 100% correctly. I'm looking to do a couple of new podcast shows, but I want them to do properly instead of just making an audio file and calling it a podcast. I have your book, and which as you said, show 800 is a little dated now. I read it to cover to cover, but I always struggle with RSS. Writing them was hard, and any automated RSS makers always created errors. So in a nutshell, my website runs on WordPress. So what's the best way to get valid podcast RSS feeds on the MP3 files? I'm just doing audio for now. Phil, this is simple. Go download the PowerPress plugin, set it up, follow our instructions over at powerpresspodcast.com, and you'll be good. And it'll create perfect RSS feeds for you that you can submit to iTunes. Make sure, the only thing I'm just going to tell you, make sure you got to your domains that you're going to stay with, locked in, and then go for it. And yep, install PowerPress. Got lots of instructional tutorials on powerpresspodcast.com and also on help.blueberry.com. I got an email here from MS Smallbiz. Hey, here's an idea for your next field. Give you any ideas for your next field trip there in Hawaii? This guy is nuts, climbing down into deep volcanoes, into this deep volcano to stand feet away from the massive lava lake. I don't go near lava. I'll leave that to the experts. You know, my luck, I would go to, I've been out to Kilauea and have seen the lava flow at a distance. There's no way I'm going to climb down or would be allowed to climb down into a volcano. That is left for trained professionals that are willing to risk their lives doing that. But I saw the image, insane, absolutely crazy. I'm glad he had a great time. Got an email here from Alan. He says, hey, Todd, thought you might find this article of interest about TSAs and airlines denial of any responsibility for lost or damaged electronics. Oh, boy. I know about, damaged electronics. And I tell you, the TSA problem, I watch my stuff pretty close when I go through security. I really do. So I tell everyone, when you're going through security, this is what I do. I always have my bag and a coat or shoes. All that stuff goes through first into the scanner. Then I push the backpack in, this where it's got the laptops. The last thing I push in is the laptops. Those go last. I always travel with two. So when things come out, I just take the shoes and I just kind of run those to the end. I grab the backpack, open it up, and I drop in the two computers, because basically I set it up so things come out in the same sequence every time. And I think that's the key, is when you're not used to traveling and you go through security, you might be kind of mixed up, but have a game plan on how your stuff's going to go through the scanner. So that's, again, what I do is I send shoes, belts, all that stuff through first. I have my wallet, my glasses, my phone, everything else stuck inside my bag. Because if you're, it's just the best way to do that. And then let that go through, then the laptops and your iPad. Just keep an eye on that stuff as it's going through, so that you don't, that you have a plan when it goes through. Got an email from one of our Tech Podcast members. He said, hey, Todd, please be aware there's a new, very powerful virus that is on the move across the internet. It's called the FBI Money Pack virus. If you get infected, it will pop up and say that you're under an investigation by the FBI. Obviously, you're not. But it tries to get you to pay to unlock your machine. Please beware and update your antivirus signatures. And that came from Dr. Bill Bailey over at drbillbailey.net. So, Dr. Bill, thanks for that. That's all the emails we had. We didn't have any voicemails on this show. As always, I want to thank you all for hanging out with me here. Those of you on live stream, thanks for being here. Those of you up on Amazon at live.geeknewscentral.com. Those of you that have been in the chat room, we definitely appreciate it as well. Those of you on Ustream, I have no idea how that stream has went tonight. We'll check it out after the show's done, because it's been running in the background. But all in all, thanks for hanging out. We definitely appreciate you guys. Thanks for being part of the Hana. We'll see you here on Thursday for the next show. I'm going to do a couple of tasks tonight after the show. If you want to hang out, I got to record some segments for those of you that are watching live for the podcast awards. And I actually got to do some some info spots for our PowerPress podcast plugin that is going to be getting an update here soon. But for everyone else, we'll see you next time. Everyone take care and aloha.